Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's Christmas message is based on Matthew's account of the birth of Christ and focuses a lot on Joseph. And you can take a look at your bulletin covers. You see him there. The angel comes. All of his carpentry stuff is hanging on the wall. Let us pray. Almighty God, who called Joseph to be the husband of the Virgin Mary and the guardian of your only Son, open our eyes and ears to the messages of your holy will and give us the courage to act upon them as your servant Joseph. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, things didn't go so well in the beginning for Joseph. Joseph was a man who had all of the responsibilities of marriage, but none of the benefits. Like most young men of his time, he had to work to earn the right to have a family. The business had to be attended to. There was a trade, which I'm sure was the most important, but also the most enjoyable part of his career and of his trade. There is a trade, I'm sure, which was the most enjoyable part. Most tradespeople I know enjoy their trade. Imagine them there in the carpenter shop, the crafting of wood, the sound of the hammer, the hitting of the chisel, the smell of the shavings, until finally the sight of a new creation is there. And Joseph had a product for which to be proud of. One of the early church fathers mentioned and observed in the second century that there was still a plow in existence, still in use, that had been used and made in Joseph's carpenter shop. So the trade was very enjoyable. But then there was, of course, the hard part of life for Joseph. There was the tedium of records. There was the paying of the tax and the collecting of the overdue accounts. But Joseph did all of these things because he loved Mary. And to a man in love, all of these sacrifices seemed but a gentle burden to him. He was now betrothed, and for all intents and purposes, legally married, as I said, of all of the responsibilities, but none of the privileges. And then it happened. One of those heart-stopping, gut-wrenching events that changes everything in his life. His betrothed, his virgin, his Mary, was discovered to be the child before their formal coming together. You see, there was a two-part aspect of marriage in those days. You were legally married at your betrothal, but then the second part was the coming together. So Joseph could not have been the father. There must have been disappointment, dismay, shock. No one word could capture all that Joseph must have been going through at that time. For many men placed under similar circumstances, there would be anger, rage, a measured legal vengeance, which was his right. Concluding in a death penalty by stoning, it would have been the order of the day for Mary. And the law would have supported Joseph in upholding all of this. But not so with Joseph. Joseph had resolved to put her away quietly. At Christmas times, when families tend to live a little more intensely and intensively together, you tend to have extended family and such like that, Joseph is the true man to model in his restraint. Anger, rage, vengeance, all of those emotions were put aside and put to rest quietly. These are powerful human emotions that might not have been put to rest so easily. But the truth is that with God, there is always a way to persevere, to cope with adverse circumstances, to find an answer. Such is as true for us as it was for Joseph. Sometimes a truth you never dared to consider before arises, and everything is set into perspective. For Joseph, the truth needed conveyance in a dream by an angel, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of that scripture reading and study Joseph did as a boy, alongside the learning of his trade, of course, suddenly became the most irrelevant thing in his life. The angel knew who Joseph was. He was Joseph. He was the son of David. And scripture pointed repeatedly to the fact that the Messiah, the deliverer, would come from his family. The prophecies were all making sense. But the name Jesus and his mission? When everybody was looking for a king who would be a militaristic man in the pattern of King David and deliver them from the Romans, God decided to send a different kind of Messiah, the one that would forgive sins. Save from their sins? And how? How would it be? It wouldn't be long before Joseph would know, because we know the rest of the story of their visit to Simeon and Anna in the temple. Now, Joseph would only know of Jesus' death as prophecy, for Simeon, who had uttered blessings and prophesied to both, now specifically addressed Mary when he said, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." In the meantime, one thing would be clear to Joseph concerning Jesus' call. It would be without the accompanying trappings of royalty. And it would mean that Jesus would grow up and, against all cultural and family expectations of the time, Jesus would be leaving the carpenter shop. Still, from the shock would come compensation, and more than compensation, from the Holy Spirit. With each new trial, of which there would be many, it would always be the way. There would be the trial, but there would be the compensation for Joseph and for us. Joseph had the fullness of a son coming into his home, but more than that, he had Emmanuel, which means God with us. The good news of the gospel was to belong to Joseph also, and so instead of flying into a rage or balking at the task to which he was called, as others had, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, most readily comes to mind. Joseph, gifted with a reserved, contemplative spirit, would find the joys of God with him through the sufferings, taking on the task of being the guardian of our Lord. At the angel's command, Joseph led his family from Nazareth into exile into Egypt and then back again. He traveled with them on to every Passover from Nazareth to Jerusalem until Jesus was 12 to learn that Jesus had another business. Jesus would say, "I need to be about my Father's business." Such were the bumps along the road, the ones we know of anyhow. The gospel account of the childhood and adolescence of Jesus ends with, "And he went down, and he was obedient to them in Nazareth." Things did not begin so well for Joseph, nor did life always continue on an easy path for him. Repeatedly, his life met with disappointment, dismay, even heart-stopping shock. But Joseph was always more than compensated. And unlike many other biblical characters, even some saintly ones, we never hear Joseph complain. And the reason is clear: because he had Emmanuel, God with us, And you know what? So do we. What's the big deal about Emmanuel, you might say? Your friends, neighbors, your spouse, and even your own self cannot read your own soul and the struggles with any sort of perspective. No one can measure your pain, but God can. He's close because he is God with us. He took on human flesh, not just appearing like ours and similar to ours, but a flesh exactly like ours. He knows what it is to be tired, to be stressed, and even kind of under the gun sort of stress. And yet he has the power and wisdom which heaven and earth cannot contain. He has the power to solve our problem, whatever it may be, or to sustain us through it. Mostly, it would seem that God desires us to persevere, and we are promised never to be tempted beyond which we cannot stand. In all things, prepare to be surprised. For Joseph and for us, God may do so in a way from a perspective using methods that we could never even have imagined. May God surprise us with such means this Christmas morning. May we rejoice in possessing God's gift of Emmanuel, God with us. Indeed, we possess this in the fullness of the sacrament which we are about to receive. May we have that gift. May we treasure it and persevere in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.